Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Lead flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which door?
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to check us out on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He is at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners at Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Salomon Brothers Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1982. That's over 35 years. And they have the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. If you're in the Atlanta area, you have two available locations to go check out Salomon Brothers. One is in North Metro Atlanta in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other is in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place. Salomon Brothers has the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. Check them out on social media at Salomon Brothers on Instagram or Twitter, SalomonBrothers.com. And when you go for an anniversary gift, a birthday gift, an engagement ring, a new watch because you just closed a big deal, just mention Drew or Jake for 10% off your jewelry purchase or the Punt and Pass Podcast. Shout out to Salomon Brothers. I'll get you that big watch of the week later on in the show, Jake. I think everybody knows what the biggest game of week two will be. But that's called a tease, so hang around. We'll get just to that. Week one, however, is done. Labor Day weekend, long holiday weekend. I enjoyed it. Jake, I'm assuming you did as well. How are you, man?
I did, man. Man, what a week of college football. A lot of craziness. They did a great job spreading out the games over the weekend. And for us in the NFL, man, it was our last weekend.
Yeah.
To kind of sit back, relax, and enjoy it before our 18-week schedule comes upon us. So it's good to have a little bit of that.
No doubt about it. You and I were talking about one thing before we pressed record on this podcast. And I would be really interested to hear if our audience felt the same way. Have you ever had to put up with so many damn commercials on the television when you're just trying to simply watch college football? There was one point this weekend where my wife, Jackie, literally looked at me and she was like, "What's the matter with you?" And I go, "Every single channel that I'm turning to has commercials. I'm just trying to watch some football." Jake, I know you felt the same.
Dude, absolutely. What is going on? I knew they had that new clock rule with college football, trying to make the games, you know, go by a little bit faster. Some teams wanted to complain about it. Other teams still put up 70, 80 points, like Oklahoma and Oregon. But all in all, us as the consumer of the sport, way too many commercials. We just want to watch some ball, man.
You're 100% right. You mentioned the clock rule, so I'm sure everybody's aware now because it was definitely talked about on most broadcasts. In college football starting this year, the clock no longer stops on first down except in the last 2 minutes of the first half and the last 4 minutes of the game. Is that right? Or is it just the last 2 minutes of each half? Do you know this?
I don't know the specifics. I can only speak to what's in the NFL at the moment. But
yeah, so in the NFL, obviously, it's different. But in college, it used to be if you got a first down, the clock stopped. That's no longer the case. Coaches are complaining, maybe one less drive, maybe 7 to 10 less snaps per game on the offensive side of the ball. But it did impact some games, not as much as maybe others. You just mentioned it. Oklahoma 73-0 over Arkansas State. I think Oregon put up an 80 burger on Portland State. So, you know, horses for courses, I guess. But when you continue to see the commercials that just bombard these college football broadcasts, it makes one thing very clear. College football has been professionalized in ways that we all thought probably would happen one day, but they're officially here now, whether it's NIL, whether it's conference realignment, whether it's the transfer portal. Keep in mind, people, the big wigs do not want you to show up in the stadium. They don't need you in the stadium. They want you to be on your couch so these TV rights deals completely continue to explode in dollar amounts. And that's what we're witnessing right now, Jake. Enough of the commercials. Holy cow.
I agree. Man, it's amazing how fast college football has changed. You got the transfer portal, like you said, conference realignment, NIL, and now all this TV stuff, man. It's just, I mean, what is next? And it has just moved so dang fast. It's tough to keep up with it, man. It's an arms race again.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all about money. All about money.
It's all about money. And one thing that I thought was really surprising, it's taking us right to our first talking point. We're going to get into some reaction on this Georgia-UT Martin game. Took me by surprise that the back-to-back national champion Georgia Bulldogs were not on TV opening weekend of college football.
What's now,
I do think that every SEC team has to play a game on SEC Network Plus, which is just streaming. So Georgia kicks off their quest for a three-peat. You don't have it on TV. I don't know what was up with my feed. I had to restart my ESPN Plus like four times during the game. Didn't have that issue with any other feeds throughout the weekend. But I was kind of scratching my head. I was like, really? You couldn't put Georgia on TV for the opening weekend of the 2023 season? Again, it's that professionalization of college football.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hate to play the other side of this, but if I'm sitting in those meetings saying, hey, how can we get people to sign up and make some money?
Yeah.
Well, that's how you do it. You get the reigning two-time national champions to play on that streaming service. And you're going to get a lot of people, locked in and signing up for it because it's the first game of the season. Nobody wants to miss out.
No doubt about it. All right, well, let's talk about this Georgia-UT Martin game. Georgia wins, of course, 48-7. The bigger talking points coming out of the game were, one, the slow start on offense, 7 points in the first quarter, 10 points in the second quarter for a 17-0 lead. And they woke up a little bit in the second half, 14 points in the third quarter, another 17 in the fourth. Again, total tally, 48-7 over UT Martin. But everybody was Zoom focused on Carson Beck. He'd been named the starting quarterback of this Georgia team 2.5 weeks ago in his first start for the Dogs. And of course, Mike Bobo in his first coaching as the offensive coordinator for the Dogs of the 2023 season. So a lot of people talking about the slow start, a lot of people talking about the play calling. Jake, can we just tell everybody to chill out? I mean, what are we even discussing? This was UT Martin, people, week one. Take a deep breath, please.
Look, I agree with you 100%. The bar has been set so astronomically high for this team, for this offense, and then for Carson too, man. I mean, it's tough. You know, he got, named the starter 2.5 weeks ago, and he's supposed to come out and be 20 for 20, 300 piece, 3 tutties. And, man, that is just so unrealistic. Like, stuff happens in your first start. It doesn't matter where you are or who you are or how many years you've been there. Like, there is some guess and check and figuring some stuff out that you just have to figure out as a player, that Bobo has to figure out as a play caller. Who and what their identity is on offense. To me, they're still figuring that out.
Of course.
Who their guys are, who can they count on? Obviously, Brock is Brock. No one human being on this earth can tackle Brock Bowers.
Yeah, he's a freak.
It's unbelievable. But they got a lot to figure out. The running back position too as well. Mm-hmm. Who's their go-to receiver? Who's their guy?
Somebody's got to step up.
I don't really know if Arian ended up with a catch in the entire game.
He did not.
He got targeted a bunch. He's the big speed guy to take the top off, and it didn't really see a whole lot of explosiveness. But we can sit here and pick this apart all day long.
Of course we can.
But, you know, at the end of the day, they scored 48 points. The defense held them to 7. We won the ball game. All the stats and stuff look good on paper at the end. The end product is good, but how we got there, we just wish it started a little bit faster.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it is really cool, too. And this has kind of become a theme among these Georgia defenses, how much pride they have of not wanting these teams to score against them. And UT Martin did score in the second half. They had a nice little 12 play drive to get into the end zone, but you could see those guys who are out there on the field, they did not want to allow them to get into the end zone. On the flip side, Carson Beck, you mentioned it. The expectation is go 30 for 30 for 7,000 yards and 20 touchdowns every single game. He went 21 of 31, 294 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions. I thought Kirby Smart's post-game press conference saying, hey guys, yeah, we did not play up to our expectations today, but we don't have to be great in this game, right? We are figuring out what's going on. One thing that maybe concerned me a little bit was the line of scrimmages. You know, those guys maybe weren't exactly 100% ready to go. Maybe they thought they could just roll their helmets out there. And of course, UT Martin is going to be fired up and playing very physical. On Thursday's podcast, Jake, you said it's like a never-ending hamster wheel trying to get ready for the season, okay? You go through summer conditioning, try to get ready for fall camp. Once fall camp starts, you're not exactly in great condition. And then you're in fall camp and you're trying to get ready to condition for game one, and then game one comes, and you're just not in the type of shape that you wanted to be in. Now you have to get into that rhythm of continuing to be in your best physical shape on Saturdays throughout the fall. And it seemed like Georgia's lines of scrimmages, they just weren't ready for that fight. And I don't necessarily blame them because they probably weren't expecting much of one. And then the rushing attack as well, that Roderick Robinson looked pretty well. Running back by committee for the time being. Ball State comes in this weekend. Go back to what you said. Carson Beck's goals should be against these lesser opponents. Command the offense, move the chains, end with scores, whether it's field goals or touchdowns. They will be more crisp upcoming this weekend against Ball State because they really have to be. And on the whole, 48 points, people. Carson played pretty well. It's just going to take some time. And you look at the schedule and you should say, thankfully, we have a schedule that allows us to figure out what we want to do.
Yeah, thankfully we do, man. And, you know, not like some of these other teams coming out and playing these big time opponents and really getting hit in the mouth pretty early. But, you know, I do agree with you big time on the offensive line. Just wish the running game, to me, watching it, just felt like it should be easier than that. We're playing these kind of guys. You know, you should be able to hand the ball off and you should be able to get 4, 5, 6 a pop. The negative runs really kind of irk me in games like that.
30 rushing attempts, 162 yards, 5.3 average per carry.
That's what I'm saying. It looks good on paper. It looks fine on paper, but just when you watch it, you're like, that shouldn't happen. We shouldn't just miss a block, or hey, we should have an answer for this if the nickel's coming off the edge. Let's replace them, you know, with a bubble, a screen pass, you know, whatsoever. So, you know, I'm just kind of caught in this. You know, it's okay. It's week one. There's a lot of things to figure out. And then two, hey, man, if we're going to be who we are, we got to play better than that.
Okay, so tell me this as a quarterback, because I want to address the concerns. And again, this is like the what is it? The vocal minority, as some people call it on social media. If you're a Georgia fan, you're very well aware of that. The naysayers, the pessimists, of course, every fan base has them, but they were out in full force in regards to the play calling. My question is this to you. Last year, season opener in Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the top 10 ranked Oregon team, Georgia came out firing on all cylinders. They busted out some trick plays. They were dispersing the ball all over the field. This year in the home opener against UT Martin, of course, the play calling is going to be way more conservative. Why would you want to throw the entire playbook open against essentially what was a high school team in UT Martin? Can you discuss if that's really something that happens leading into games against lesser opponents like this?
Yeah, 100%. You just want to, hey, nice, clean, easy game plan. Let's go execute. And you could tell on the first drive, they had some nice, easy passes for Carson to kind of get some comfort under his belt, so to speak. go three and out, miss on a third down conversion, you know, and then on the second drive, you know, back to good old Georgia, run, you know, pass there on third down, you know, when you don't get it. And so it's just, it's a little, you know, hey, what are we? Who do we want to be? What yeah. are we? And that's just something they're going to have to iron and figure out.
No doubt. Brock Bowers, great game. 5 catches, 78 yards with a long 23-yard catch. Mekhi Muse, huge shout-out to him. I mean, dude, a lot of expectations coming out of camp.
Go.
Three that's catches, awesome. 75 yards, and he had a 54-yard touchdown reception as well. So he looks good. Georgia's going to be just fine, people. Let's give them a little bit of time to ease into this season. I saw the AP poll came out this morning. Still ranked number one. It's going to be just fine. All right, let's switch gears. The team that made the most noise on Saturday of opening weekend, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime's Colorado Buffaloes, upsetting TCU. I was dead wrong on this game. I think most people were dead wrong on this game. Absolutely enormous performance by Shedeur Sanders Jr. That, of course, is Deion's son. Travis Hunter from Collins Hill High School right here in the great state of Georgia. 145 total snap shake. I text you. I go, this is crazy. You do not see it anymore. It's like Hines Ward, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson type performances. Colorado may or may not be for real. They're hosting Nebraska coming up this weekend. That's your big noon game on Fox. Like it or not, Colorado's going to be in your face all season long, and they showed out big time in week one with a huge upset victory over TCU.
510 yards passing. Holy cow, they came out to say to the world, we are here.
We're for real. We here.
Is now. We here. Yes. if you watch that video.
Yes.
that's funny. But Deion hit it in his presser after the game. He's getting on to the media for not believing.
Yeah, and, is that real? Do you buy into that?
It was like, hey, I believe in you. I believe you're going to turn the program around. 100%, but I want to be honest, I didn't think it would happen in the very first game you dressed out as the head coach
doubt.
For the Buffs. I mean, that performance. Now, TCU is not last year's TCU, lost a ton of guys, but, I mean, they still got pride. I mean, they don't want to go get beat by these guys. I mean, there's a lot to show up, and there's a lot on the line here, but, man, Colorado, man, came out and said to the world, man, This is for real. We
45-42 over TCU. You just said it. Shedeur Sanders, 38-47, 510 yards and 4 touchdowns. Here's probably even more remarkable. 4 Colorado receivers caught for 100 plus passing yards. Absolutely incredible. Receiving yards, excuse me. Absolutely incredible game. Travis Hunter had the interception down by the goal line. Travis Hunter also had 11 catches for 119 receiving yards. That kid, bona fide five-star, bona fide Heisman conversation around two of the Colorado's players after week one. Here's something that's even crazier. Last week, the look-ahead line for the Nebraska-Colorado game, Nebraska was like an 8.5-point favorite. Now, Nebraska is a 3-point underdog. That line has switched so dramatically. Wow. I don't know if that's a complete overreaction on Colorado, but will they be able to keep it up? You know, they got really – I don't think they have as much depth as they probably would like. Again, 60 new players in the transfer portal. But you know what? They were very well coached.
They were. But they had a great
sound,
plan on offense.
Not a lot of penalties, yes.
Exactly. And what they did, I mean, it was great. I mean, to go 38-47, like that completion percentage right there is astronomically high. I mean, that's solid. That means, hey, I know what the plan is, and I'm dinking and dunking and taking my shots, and I am getting my shots. Like, we are completing balls, and that's tough to do, man. A game like that, down to the wire, like, you're going to throw some balls away, you're going to do this, have some bad balls, but – boy, let me tell you what, that was impressive.
It really was impressive.
And, talk about the Nebraska game next week. I don't want to be sitting on the other side of Deion, you know, and him calling me out for not believing. So I'm in. I'm stuck.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a great meme after the game. Deion Sanders was like hugging the TCU running back because the TCU running back, Trey Sanders, he had a pretty good game as well. 3 touchdowns that came up just short. And the meme of Deion like hugging this kid said, this is the last guy you want talking to one of your players after a game, because all he does is bring in recruits and transfers. And I thought that was pretty funny. So Colorado off to a great start. Dion, we all love you. I don't really know where this, you know, manufactured, you know, slight of the media is coming from, but we'll get plenty of Colorado. Their home opener is next week against Nebraska. All right, before we get into Florida State and Clemson, two ACC teams, then we're going to wrap this up. I do want to just go ahead and let everybody know what the Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week is for week two. You know where we're heading. It's Tuscaloosa, Alabama, number 11, Texas, heading to T-Town to take on number 3, Alabama. This game was an instant classic a year ago in Austin. Alabama snuck away with a one-point win. We all know Nick Saban's record against his former assistant, Steve Sarkisian, of course, in his third year as the head coach of Texas. Quinn Ewers, will he be able to withstand that raucous environment? Jalen Milroe solidified himself as the athletic quarterback and the starting guy at Alabama. Look, you can look at this one both ways, Jake. I think Alabama is about a touchdown favorite. Some people in the media are saying this is Texas's year. They're going to go in there and beat Alabama. But on the whole, dude, Alabama just doesn't lose a lot of games at home. I think Alabama's for real as well. This is a tough task for Texas coming up this weekend.
I agree with you on that. And then Texas, too, a lot like Georgia, started off very, very slow in their game. And they're going to have to figure something out and start a whole lot faster if you want a chance versus the Alabama Crimson Tide.
No question about it. That is going to be your Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week for week two. Solomon Brothers has the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. They offer custom jewelry designs, lifetime diamond upgrades, and their beautiful stores are simply impeccable. Amazing service as well. There's one in Alpharetta just past the Avalon. The other's in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place. SolomonBrothers.com, at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter. Sunday night, Florida State absolutely demolished LSU. Second half, they woke up. It looked like the Florida State teams of old. My cousin who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, he's a Florida State grad. He sent me a screenshot of him purchasing his plane tickets to Houston in January. He thinks Florida State's going to the national championship after that performance. But I will say I was on the right side of that game. LSU just looked sluggish in the second half, and Jordan Travis flat out outplayed Jaden Daniels. There's no question about it. Very impressive by the Seminoles in week one.
I mean, to be honest, I was not really expecting this the way it turned out. If anything, for LSU to really turn it on in the second half and dominate, but man, it was just all Florida State in the second half. I mean, Jordan Travis played great. Had the receiver calling a shot on the DB there in the game. I don't know if you've seen that video clip. But, talk about the Seminoles, man. I think they're here to stay, and I think they're going to have a pretty good season this year.
Well, yeah, when you compare them to what Clemson looked like last night, the ACC is wide open. I do want to get your thoughts on that game. Duke just bullying Clemson around. But are you worried about LSU, or was it just simply, hey, not their night? Florida State careered it with a great game plan. Or is LSU maybe out over their skis? There were a lot of high expectations in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, man, a lot of high expectations. And then as good as Alabama looked, you know, they kind of looked like Alabama of old. Didn't really overexcite you, but then, you know, they came out and they played like they play, like Alabama plays. So, but LSU had high hopes for this year, and that is a big, big hit in the gut going into the season because, 0-1 out of state, it didn't look good for the conference either. South Carolina lost, and there was one other SEC team that lost too. We were 0-3 versus the ACC, I believe. But
South Carolina lost. Who else lost? LSU lost, and there's one more.
I thought it was one more. Yeah.
It escapes me. I'll find it.
I'll find it. But yeah, dude, it's going to be exciting to kind of see what Florida State does this year because the SEC looks wide open.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they dominated in the second half. Florida State was down at halftime, 21 points in the fourth quarter as well. Brian Kelly kind of taking full blame for it after the game, and LSU is going to have to kind of go back to the drawing board. Fortunately for them, it's not in the SEC. So just like last year, they lost that game in week one, and they fought their way to win the SEC West and take on Georgia for the SEC championship. So season's not over for LSU, but maybe a little worrisome if you are an LSU fan. Let's talk about Clemson, because that game last night, Clemson looked lost, turning the ball over, blocked field goals, not being able to capitalize. And give credit to Duke, 10 returning starters on offense. They whooped up on Clemson in the lines of scrimmages. Mike Elko heading into his second season, Riley Leonard, great quarterback play. They dominated, rushed the field. Is Clemson done? Is the dynasty over, Jay?
That is a great question. I mean, just didn't really look clean on offense, you know, kind of what is going on. And then, you know, Sam Howell mentioned to me today that Clemson doesn't take transfers. And so they that's kind of Dabo's thing, which I get it, but if you're going to stand on that hill,
I know, man,
you have to be willing to die on that hill. And that could kind of hinder them from being able to compete and stay in a lot of ball games because they're missing out on a few guys.
What would be the reasoning for that? You know, Kirby, obviously, and Georgia, they're not as aggressive, but they address needs when they pop up. So what would be the reason to say we don't get into the transfer portal? I just don't get it. This is a new age of college football, adapt or die. And it seems like Clemson's kind of falling by the wayside in some respects. I was texting with a former teammate of mine who went to Clemson, and I was like, man, just a couple of years ago, you had Deshaun Watson, you had DeAndre Hopkins, you had absolute ballers all over the field. And you see these Clemson teams like from last night, you're like, it's just not the same. Doesn't have that same feel.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like the big household names just aren't there. The playmakers on the perimeter aren't really quite there. But going back to the transfer portal thing, I think it comes down from my perspective of more of a culture thing that you're trying to build in your program.
Hey,
you got to work, you got to earn it. And then, you know, to be able to kind of say that on one side of your mouth and then bring in some random guy off the street and just say, hey, here's the starting job. You know, they kind of doesn't really sit well with a lot of guys, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to winning football games. So however you got to do it, do it.
Well, they did not do it last night, losing 28-7 to Duke, shutout in the second half. They were up 7-6 at halftime. Duke scores 22 points in the second half to win convincingly 28-7. Cade Klubnik, yeah, a lot of hype for him. Garrett Riley coming in as a new offensive coordinator from TCU. I know Clemson fans were happy that Dabo made that choice and made that switch because he hadn't done that in the past. And they fell flat on their face. But, you know, Dabo after the game said that was one of the weirdest games I've ever been a part of. And he was discussing how on the stat sheet they dominated. But, Jake, as you know, if you turn the ball over and you miss kicks, you're not going to win many games against anybody.
No, not at all, especially when you turn the ball over. And then I think that Dabo also said something about, you know, it being the Clemson offense is what we're running. So I had this conversation with somebody earlier today about the Clemson offense. They don't really have a whole lot of an identity. It's just very gimmicky, in my opinion, very high school-y, in my opinion. So we'll see where it gets them throughout the season and if they adapt and they change it all.
Yeah, Klubnik threw a pick. They also lost two fumbles. And then in the kicking game, 0-2. That is not a recipe for success. Bueno. Clemson is going to have to go back to the drawing board. I think they got knocked all the way back to number 25 in the AP poll from number 9. Colorado's in there at 22. I like to see that. You know, shake it up a little bit. We all have a week of college football under our belts. Let's set the stage for what should be an awesome week 2 coming up this weekend. Who do the Washington Commanders play in week 1 of the NFL season?
Play the Arizona Cardinals at home.
Okay.
It's going to be a big one. We have a packed out, sold out house there, so it'll be fun. Man, they're selling tickets in the standing room only. So
come on.
I think we're expecting a big crowd. It should be a really good atmosphere.
We're all Commanders fans with our man Jake Fromm on the squad. A lot of fun recapping week 1 of the college football season. Week 2 coming up with some big-time games. This episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Check out Salomon Brothers on Twitter and Instagram at Salomon Brothers. They're at SalomonBrothers.com. If you go to one of their two awesome locations, one is in Alpharetta just past the Avalon, the other in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place, and you mention Punt and Pass or mention myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. And one of the beautiful things about Salomon Brothers Jewelers is the store is for anyone with any budget. They have the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds, guaranteed in an in-store experience that is totally unmatched. Solomon Brothers Jewelers, SolomonBrothers.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
No, but it did come to me that team I was talking about that lost was not against the ACC, but it was an embarrassing loss in the fashion they lost in, the University of Florida.
Oh, golly, you're right. We forgot about that one last Thursday night.
It was a forgettable performance. Very forgettable performance. So coming around full circle. It's always good to throw that nugget in at the end of a show about Florida losing. So
yes.
Now we're here.
Absolutely. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. PuntandPass.com. We will talk to you on Thursday. See ya.
We out.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.